The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, December the 12th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. Any questions you have about Tucson Air Service, now would be the time to call in. It's time for our year-end Tucson Air Service update. Dick Grunzel is with us. Dick is the Vice President for Administration and Finance at the Tucson International Airport Authority, where he is also the Chief Financial Officer. Dick, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Sorry about your Wisconsin Badgers. You're, of course, from Madison. You were hoping for a big upset in the Big Ten title game. It looked pretty good there in the first half.
It looked great in the first half,
yeah.
But unfortunately, the games are two halves.
Yep.
But the Rose Bowl is a pretty good consolation prize.
That's going to be a good game with Oregon. Right?
Oregon,
yeah,
right.
Real good. All right. Very good year at TIA.
Excellent year. So our fiscal year runs through September 30th. So for our latest fiscal year that just ended in at the end of September, we carried almost 3.8 million passengers. And that's an increase of 6.5% over the previous year. And since the, in the last 3 years, really, we've gone from about a little over 3.1 million up to 3.8 million. So, an excess of 20% increase. That total that we had for 2019 was the highest passenger count we've had since 2008. So over 10 years. So just really tremendous growth.
Yeah, that so 2008 was kind of the recession was
right. That was we peaked prior to the recession in 2006 2007 time period at a little under 4.4 million passengers, and then we got down to right around that 3 million level, and it's been it's kind of a sideways go of it for a few years after the recession. And then, we had a few increases, but really the last 3 years, it's really accelerated.
When you talk to all of the airlines that serve TUS, did they all register increases?
Yes. All of the airlines serving Tucson International Airport had an increase last year. And then contributing to that also was the newcomers that we had, Allegiant coming in with both Bellingham and Provo, Utah flights, and then also Frontier reentering the market after a number of years of not being here. So all the existing airlines increasing plus the new airlines, that's a great recipe for the kind of increases that we've seen.
So is Allegiant using a different place at the airport?
Yes.
For check-in?
Yes. Allegiant uses what we call the C gates. As people who use the airport know, we have an A concourse and a B concourse, which is in the main terminal. And then when Allegiant started, prior to when they started, we had opened up what used to be the old international terminal.
I remember that.
Which is, kind of you come to that when you're driving into the airport before you actually get up to the main terminal. It's kind of at the bottom of the hill. But we reopened that for regular commercial service, and that's called the Sea Gates, and that's where Allegiant is operating from.
Have they done pretty well with their service?
Allegiant has done well. Provo and Bellingham, as I mentioned before, and Bellingham,
sure,
by the way, is very convenient for just like 20, 25 miles or so away from Vancouver.
There's public transit that you can take right into Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So,
that's good.
It works both ways. We get a lot of Canadians who actually drive to Bellingham to fly on Allegiant as well. But it's doing well. You know, they Allegiant actually just last month inaugurated their first flights to Indianapolis, so a third destination. You know, the way things are looking, Indianapolis is turning out to be probably even better performer than both Provo and Bellingham. And the bookings actually, when they announced that flight, have done so well, they actually have added, you know, there's the normal schedule is two flights per week on Mondays and Thursdays. But they added a third flight in a couple of weeks around the holidays. So Indianapolis is looking really, really good. And we're really kind of looking forward to talking with Allegiant about some more destinations in the Midwest. That it's kind of the way they operate. There's a certain cities where they have crew bases that are really looking like they could work, places like Des Moines, Iowa, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we really think we have some great opportunities for some new destinations with Allegiant.
Well, so many Midwesterners out here, myself included, you. I mean, there are all a lot of people who don't want to use Chicago O'Hare and then to connect to wherever, Milwaukee or Indianapolis. This is a good opportunity.
And that's exactly the point. And I think, you know, I think that's part of the reason that, you know, Indianapolis and now we think potentially other Midwest destinations, you know, maybe would, you know, do even better than some of the Western destinations. Because when you look at, excuse me, the additional or all of the service that we have with our existing airlines to the west, you know, like Salt Lake City, you know, Delta flies four or five times a day, you know, Portland, Seattle, you know, connecting flights through, you know, the West Coast and the western half of the country is so well covered that I think the Midwest destinations are really crying for more service.
Yeah, I agree. That's a, certainly a growth opportunity for Tucson. Let's talk quickly about some of the high season flights. This is the big time of year, of course. The tourism season cranks up. What's Delta doing with Atlanta?
You know, Atlanta is one of those destinations where you just, Delta, it seems whatever service they add, it just fills up. So typically we have two flights a day year-round to Atlanta on Delta. And during the high season in the past, they've just added larger aircraft because usually it's on a you know, maybe an A320 or something like that, and they might upgauge it to a 757. Well, this year during the high season, they're actually going to add a third daily flight. So, and, you know, certainly a lot of people like to go, you know, just directly to Atlanta, but Atlanta, essentially the largest connecting hub in the world. Connecting opportunities with that flight to Delta are just tremendous.
Alaska's done well in Portland.
Yes, they have. This high season, they're going to be adding a second daily flight. Typically, that goes once per day. Unfortunately, they suspend the flight during the summer. During the high season this year, in addition to the regular daily, they're going to be adding a second daily.
And we've talked about it before. I wish we could convince Alaska that people in Tucson want to go up to the Northwest in the summertime.
Yeah, and that's a it's unfortunately the network planners at the airline seem to have a mind block on that concept, because we have the same issue with Minneapolis. Delta only flies the route you know, during the fall, winter, and spring. And during the summer, they don't fly it. And then Sun Country actually as well flies to Minneapolis, but only during the high season.
Yeah.
You know, we all know it's a no-brainer that
they would do well.
They would do well in the summer, but it's just they unfortunately look at it from the perspective of people in Minneapolis and Portland, and they say, well, people who live in Minneapolis and Portland don't want to come to Tucson during
the
summer.
Right. But people that live in Tucson would love to be at Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Absolutely.
When it's 110 degrees in Tucson.
And isn't that a beautiful...
65 degrees at Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Yes.
Okay. Some of these other Frontier resuming flights to Denver.
Right. Frontier, I'll tell you. You know, Denver is another one of those markets where you can't seem to have enough seats. So Frontier is flying that route during the winter, joining Southwest and United, who fly the route multiple times a day year round. And actually, we just found out in yesterday with Southwest's new schedule that they just put out for the summer, that Southwest is going to be adding a third year-round daily flight to Denver in addition to the two they already fly.
So there's that's a growth area for
us.
Yes,
definitely.
Okay, Sun Country, you mentioned they'll be resuming service to Minneapolis three times a week, I guess.
Yes, three times a week, and they fill that plane up. And, you know, Sun Country is another airline where you know, we continue to talk with them because we feel there are other opportunities that we could do, you know, new destinations with them. So, and they're definitely in growth mode. So, but yeah, the Sun Country flights to Minneapolis are a good way to demonstrate to them that we do have the demand in Tucson for additional service.
All right, we'll resume our conversation, our year-end update with Dick Grunzel. Dick's the Chief Financial Officer at the Tucson Airport Authority, which, of course, in the portfolio is the Tucson International Airport, and we don't talk about it enough. Ryan Field's quite a little airport, isn't it?
Ryan Field is, I tell you, it's a well-kept secret, and the people who have planes out there and the businesses that operate there, they just love it. It's great airspace, uncrowded, very well maintained. The people who have facilities out there, they really take pride of ownership.
Right.
It's one of the, I would say, one of the best general aviation airports in the state, if not the country.
Where is it?
It's about 10 miles directly west of Tucson International Airport. You just take Valencia all the way out until it hits Ajo Highway.
Okay.
It's within a stone's throw of Casino del Sol.
All right. Dick Grunzel with us. Dick, we talked about Dick from Madison, Wisconsin. Dick, growing up, I'm sure you had a lot of friends from Scandinavia. You know about a Danish Kringle, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. Dick, which sounds best to you? The traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan?
I've always been partial to the pecan myself.
There you go. Dick goes with the Danish Kringle at Mona's Danish Bakery. And, of course, they're taking your Christmas orders right now. Dick, what about pies? Steve, chief baker up there, always likes to sample what our listeners and my guests say about pies. Here's what they're doing, Dick, with the pies. You can go with pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, or pecan for your Christmas table.
Oh, love a blueberry pie.
Oh, there you go. All right, Steve, hope you're listening up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Put in your order now for Christmas, all those great pies, the dinner rolls, and of course, what could be better than Christmas morning with a Danish Kringle? MornasDanishBakery.com is their website. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com to the Tucson International Airport. And Dick, what again is that website for your airport?
FlyTucson.com. Very easy.
And there's a lot of good stuff there, right?
Absolutely. Flight schedules, arrivals, departures, all the different routings you can take to get to wherever you're going.
All right. Be right back on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our year-end Tucson Air Service quarterly update with Dick Grunzel. Dick's the VP of Administration and Finance, and he's also the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. Dick, over Thanksgiving, we flew that nonstop Alaska flight, Alaska Air, Tucson, San Jose. Real nice aircraft. It was like a brand new, I think they call that a 175. Small jet, but it was obviously a new plane, very nice seats, but unfortunately they've revamped the schedule.
Yeah, Alaska is going to be discontinuing that flight, unfortunately. The last flight will be on January 6th. Now, Southwest, however, still does fly nonstop daily to San Jose, so we still maintain San Jose as a destination. And really, with Alaska, about a year ago, they had really made a push and started a number of flights from San Jose to other destinations besides Tucson in the West as well. Southwest, you know, Alaska has really kind of made a push. They want to be able to call themselves California's airport. And San Jose was one of those airports that they tried to beef up. Southwest is not taking it lying down. So Southwest is competing heavily with Southwest in a number of airports in California. And so in the case of San Jose, Alaska just decided to pull back on a number of the routes. It's hard to conclude that it's anything other than the competition.
Sure.
So Tucson wasn't alone in that one. It's just unfortunate because, like you said, it really was a nice aircraft. The timing of the flight was perfect for people to live in Tucson.
Yeah, we got in at 9:30 in the morning in Silicon Valley. Perfect.
Right.
How about the 737, the grounding and the MAX? Boy, we're coming up on 1 year in March on that grounding.
Yeah, and right now, all of the airlines have it pulled out of their schedules through the first part of March. But that was all predicated on Boeing believing that they were going to get the FAA to recertify the plane in basically right about now in December. The head of the FAA in hearings the other day indicated that now That schedule is not going to be made. He's basically hinted that it's going to at least be into the new year before the FAA, and although there's no specific time frame. So unfortunately, I would expect the airlines are going to be pushing out that March return to service date even more. And it just has a ripple effect throughout all the route schedules of all the airlines. And here in Tucson, even though we did not actually have any regular MAX scheduled flights here to Tucson, the ripple effect with them having to cut flights throughout their network is clearly impacting us. January, for example, our seat capacity is down 6.8% overall versus last year. And within that, Southwest is down 12 to 13%. So it's clearly having an impact.
It's like a rolling blackout in many ways. American moved, they moved a lot of aircraft, and Southwest, of course, started up their service to Hawaii while all of this was going on. And they found themselves scrambling for aircraft because I think they had over 30 MAX in the fleet.
Yes, they did. And Southwest is really at a disadvantage as compared to American and United in one other aspect, in that American and United, because they have all different fleet types in their networks. They're able to basically go out on the market and lease for a temporary basis any Airbus or other Boeing type of aircraft that might be available for them to backfill at least a portion of their schedules, whereas Southwest flies
only
Boeing 737 aircraft.
Only Boeing products, that's it.
So if there are not any Boeing 737 aircraft out there available for lease, they have no ability to source.
No, because the crews are trained with the Boeing product, and suddenly you're going to be flying the Airbus product today. Just doesn't work. We've got a couple of minutes left. I think we should summarize what's going on at the airport as far as the actual concessions. It's really been a big year for the airport.
It really has. The concessions and both pre-security as well as post-security, really with the local flair to it, with El Charro, Noble Hops, Beyond Bread really being the local headliners, Empire Pizza as well, has really transformed the customer experience at the airport.
Did you mention my sponsor, Noble Hops?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Would never forget
no,
them.
No, go ahead. And and the whole thing with TSA, they changed the whole security.
Right.
Much more convenient.
The security checkpoint experience is much less crowded than it used to.
Right.
We've never had real long lines in our security checkpoints, but this just makes it even that much more, I would never say it's enjoyable to go through security, but
easier,
much less of a strain. Yeah. As you're going through security, we got great big windows that look right over the airfield.
Right.
It really is a much nicer environment for people these days.
So this was a huge revamp, wasn't it, for the airport?
Yes, it was. I mean, it was a, roughly a $30 million project.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of it was actually things that people don't see, because it's a, it's a 40-year-old terminal building, right. And some of the inner workings, like the sewer pipes and the water pipes and electrical systems,
original equipment
that eventually needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
So along with all the significant visible improvements, it really was also an investment to really just making this this terminal last into the future.
Runway project.
Huge runway project coming up, about a $250 million project that we're just getting underway on design for. It will add a second full commercial service runway to the one that we currently have. Tremendous for both our airlines as well as the Air National Guard will be a huge benefit to them. Besides bringing the airfield up to current day FAA standards, for safety, Also, just the redundancy. So if you have an incident on one runway, you have another one that's just like it that can be used.
So we'll have parallel runways.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is something that not even San Diego has, believe it or not. They have one main runway.
Oh, yeah.
Any type of incident they have there can really create havoc with the air traffic.
So that's a huge project. And any other big things you got coming up?
That is the biggest project that we've ever had in the airport's history, including terminal projects. So that is really the biggest one now that we kind of have, at least for the near term anyway, most of the major terminal improvements taken care of.
When will that new runway be available?
At this point,
5 years, 4 years,
we're looking at probably about 2 years for design then another 2 years or so for construction. So another 4 or 5 years, probably.
So all in all, a real good year.
Absolutely fantastic year. We're looking at, other things to improve the experience for our Uber and Lyft customers as well. Right now, it's a little inconvenient, a little difficult to find where the pickup area is. We're looking at some alternatives.
Designated spot or something?
Yeah, a designated spot in a different area that will make it much easier for people.
Okay, and again, the website, Dick Grunzel?
FlyTucson.com. Look for the fare calculator so you can see that the fare you think you might be saving is going to be eaten up with additional travel costs for gas and time and everything else, so and parking. So please take a look at that.
Yeah, why take the trip up the road? All right, Dick Grunzel, always a pleasure. Have a great holiday season,
Dick. You too, Bill. Thank you
very much. Buckmaster at the Midway Point. We'll be right back with Leah Marquez-Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare. by taking your medicines safely.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
All righty, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Where do you go for homegrown poinsettias, Tom Fairbanks? Where is the go-to place?
Let's see. I don't have any in my backyard garden.
Yeah. How about Green Things?
There's a good garden
there
place.
There you go. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site, home not only to Green Things and all the wonderful green things they grow, but Zocalo and Zocalo Village with all the great merchandise. Much of it hand-carved, beautiful, from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Tom, growing up, and I know you moved every year or two, being an Air Force brat, as they say.
That's me.
Did the family always have a poinsettia at Christmas?
Usually.
Yeah.
It was one of the things that my mom always liked to try to find could have.
Yeah. I think people want one, and why not? They're beautiful. Green Things, Tom, grows 25,000. It's a huge undertaking, greenhouse after greenhouse. And they've got them in every imaginable color. Check out greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more information. Let's go now on the live line. Leah Marquez Peterson, one of five members of the Arizona Corporation Commission. Leah, how are you?
Oh, good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
People say Arizona Corporation Commission. Tell me, how many times a day do you have to explain to people what it is?
Quite often. I'm surprised at how many folks, you know, have no idea what we do, but I'll explain it simply that we ensure that we have safe, reliable, and affordable utilities throughout the state. We do a lot more than that related to securities fraud and railroad and pipeline safety and business incorporation, but I think most people know us for our work related to the utilities.
There are five commissioners. Each are elected, Republicans and Democrats. You are filling a seat on the, and I believe, Leah, you are the only commissioner not outside of Maricopa County.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And it's interesting because I think I'm the only Southern Arizonan serving in a statewide role now. But I've been making sure to get around the state, Bill, and visit Superior and Globe. I'm heading to Parker and Yuma next week and just make sure I meet with folks throughout the state because certainly I know what it's like not being from Maricopa County and want to make sure that our voice is represented.
How many are Republicans on the five-member board?
Right now we have four Republicans, including myself, and one Democrat.
Okay. And so you are up, you'll be standing for re-election in 2020.
I am, yeah. I'm doing the job as well as running a campaign for re-election to the seat for next year.
And fill our listeners in how you came to be appointed to the board.
Right. So Governor Ducey appointed me this spring to replace Andy Tobin, who was promoted into the Department of Administration in the state. So I came to this role a little over 6 months ago and been learning just a ton about utilities and railroad and pipeline and all the different work that the Arizona Corporation Commission does, and also really spending time meeting with stakeholders, wanting to make sure I knew all the different folks that we engaged with because we are a regulatory body. And I explain to folks when I speak in public at Rotary Clubs and things like that, that we're kind of judicial / legislative because we are voting on rate cases and a lot of important policies that impact families throughout the state.
There is a huge meeting coming up December 19th, I believe, at 10 a.m. at the Corporation Commission headquarters. This is a public meeting about competition. This is your ACC headquarters in Phoenix. For more than 1.2 million customers, Arizona Public Service is the only game in town when it comes to electricity. That could change, couldn't it?
It could. That meeting actually got pushed out to, I think, end of January now.
Okay.
But I'll be sure
okay.
to let your listeners know when that date is. Mm-hmm. But right now, our utilities, our electric utilities and water are monopolies. They basically have territories in which they operate, and deregulation or retail competition would change that game. It's a very complex issue, and I know I submitted a letter to my fellow commissioners detailing some 12 to 15 different topics I thought we needed to study and host workshops on in order to really understand the impact on every family. Because ultimately, the big question is, if we deregulate or have retail competition, are we saving ratepayers money? And that is up for debate, depending on how it would be structured in Arizona. So I'm being very thoughtful and very careful as I dive into that conversation.
In the early 2000s, I believe California, Leah Marquez Peterson, tried it, and it failed. The resulting energy crisis was marked by market manipulation, blackouts, and bankruptcies of power companies. So it didn't work in California, so they went back to, like, Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E. But look what they've had to deal with all these rolling blackouts that have been going on in California.
Yeah, and there's some 12 to 15 states in our country that now have some form of deregulation. It's more of a hybrid now. I want to learn about what's worked, what hasn't worked in these various states. But we've got some important programs in the state that it would be hard to regulate, such as energy efficiency programs and setting renewable energy standards and things of that nature that we'd need to make sure we had in place in Arizona if we went to some kind of deregulated market. So still a lot of questions around it.
What is the latest with, there was that whole dust up about up in Phoenix with Arizona Public Service cutting off power to some people, and then we had some fatalities that resulted from that. How did that all play out, Leah?
Yeah, that was such a sad incident. In the Sun City area, a woman's power had been disconnected, and she had later passed from the heat during the summer in Phoenix. And so upon learning about this and meeting with APS, we set an emergency moratorium on all the utilities that people could not be shut off during the heat of the summer through October 15th. So now we're past that date. We're looking at the dollars that people have not paid, ensuring that they have payment plans and that they're connected to a lot of the social service agencies throughout the state to help them if they need that help. And we're in the middle of conversations now on what a permanent disconnect policy would mean. Would that apply to just electricity, or is it also public health and safety and needs to apply to water and wastewater and so on? So those are some of the conversations we're having at the state level.
That would be a statewide program that would affect Tucson as well then.
Yes. So TEP also was under the same moratorium and also had folks that couldn't make payments or weren't able to make payments over the summer, and they're currently in a payment plan with TEP. And certainly if someone listening needs to know more about this or perhaps couldn't make payments over the summer, they should contact Tucson Electric Power and make sure that they're on a certain payment plan.
One thing I like when TEP sends out their bill, you can add a little bit of money to, I think they call it a hometown heroes plan or
yeah.
something to do with heroes. But I always donate, and I think that is used then to help out people who are in a tough situation and can't pay their bill for a month or whatever.
It is, and several of our utilities and our electric co-ops have a program like that where you can round up.
Right.
And those dollars are put aside to help throughout the communities or throughout the counties they're operating in to help those that are having trouble paying their bills or have run into some kind of maybe medical emergency and need that assistance to make their utility payment. So in Pima County, we have a Pima County Action Center that monitors those services and that TEP and the other utilities work with. So in Pima County, they should certainly contact the Pima County Action Center.
And water is also part of the Arizona Corporation Commission. That's in your portfolio as well, regulating water companies?
It is. And most people are shocked to learn, Bill, that we have more than 1,500 water companies in the
Whoa.
State of Arizona. Yeah, I was so surprised. We regulate about 300 or more that are privately owned. So those are throughout the state. A lot of them, the smallest ones, started from developed communities that didn't have water service. So the developer themselves became a water utility. And so we have all different sizes. There are a lot of very small water companies. And with my background at the Hispanic Chamber, working with thousands of businesses throughout Southern Arizona, that's really resonated with me. What can I do to ensure that these small water companies are operating properly and have the access to capital they need to expand and so on? So I've been really focused actually on a lot of the small water companies throughout the state.
Wow, so much at the Arizona Corporation Commission going on, and really it's a commission that pretty much flies under the radar screen. Leah, stick around. We've got another segment with you, and we encourage folks, any questions about consumer electricity or perhaps bills, 790-2040 is our live line number on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our conversation with Leah Marquez Peterson, one of five ACC commissioners with us on the live line. She'll be back after we take the break. Be right back on Buckmaster. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, southwest corner there. It's a beautiful area of the southwest of the United States. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of opportunities to recreate, all sorts of ideas what to do and where to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Again, the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Leah Marquez Peterson, one of five members of the Arizona Corporation Commission with us on the live line. What about business restructuring? Business is a big part of the Arizona Corporation portfolio, isn't it, Leah?
It is, and I think a lot of people aren't aware that we actually handle all of the incorporations for businesses in the state of Arizona. I'm excited to announce that we've just passed expediting rules, which means that people can now get same-day service, next-day service on getting incorporated. So I know there are a lot of law firms as well as entrepreneurs that come to the ACC to use that service. So now we've really updated that, and we have some rates that people can pay that I think are not too high. We were careful to make those so that they would be attractive to small businesses also. But people can get even faster service at the Arizona Corporation Commission, which is a great way to go about streamlining how to do business in Arizona.
How about broadband and phone service? Is that also under your jurisdiction?
You know, we do. Just last week, we hosted workshops related to broadband. They have competitive rates that are set at the federal level, but what we get involved in is their transmission lines and 911 service. So we'd had some situations where 911 outages had occurred, so we brought in the telecommunication firms to talk to us about that, to work closely with the counties and the cities and ensure that when folks pick up, whether it's their cell phone or their landline, that 911 service works. So we're putting a lot of protections in place.
You said you've been traveling all over the state. I think you said you were up in Kingman, correct?
Yeah, I've been all over the state, really meeting with mayors and council and communities to hear about issues that are important. And, you know, one thing I wanted to mention, Bill, that just happened in our backyard here in Tucson is we approved this week a contract between the University of Arizona and TEP. The U of A has set a goal to be 100% emissions free from wind and storage and solar, and they had to come before the Arizona Corporation Commission to get that approved, and we approved that 20-year contract. So that's pretty exciting, and I think a great direction for the U of A.
When would they be totally sustainable?
I think it's within a year or more, because they've got to put some infrastructure in place. But I'm sure TEP could tell you more of the details.
You know, I want to get back to this whole competition thing. And I was looking at a story out of the Dallas area where we mentioned Texas has had electric competition, utility competition. And one reporter there said you have to be a math genius to figure out how to find the lowest rate from the best company. He was saying that consumers are confused. They'd been contacting the paper for years about this. It gets so complicated that the electricity companies have figured out a way to, as he put it, game the system. So you said you had a lot of questions. I think you mentioned you've got about 10 to 12 questions. Let's go into some of those questions that you have about this whole competition thing with electricity.
Yeah, well, certainly communication and transparency is key in any of these. You're right. You could create very complicated rates or tools, perhaps, that don't work. We had a situation in Phoenix, actually, yesterday. We had the APS CEO, Jeff Goldner, the brand new CEO, come before us to talk about a rate comparison tool that hadn't worked for them, and they had overcharged customers, and we had to hold them accountable and make sure that's fixed. But what you see in Texas occurring is that they've got websites in place. You can put your address in, and it will pull up comparison tools that you can choose, different utilities that you can utilize depending on the way in which you use your energy at your home. You're right, it can get very complicated. As I've studied different states that have handled or done some type or form of retail competition, there's been a number of claims of consumer fraud, and that's a concern. And if we were to do anything like this, how do we protect Arizonans so everyone, including our most vulnerable, are not taken care of or not taken advantage of with any kind of scams or things that might come to the state? So as you Google even retail competition, you can see a lot of those concerns that have popped up in Pennsylvania and Connecticut, as well as Texas and other states.
Leah Marquez-Peterson with us from the Arizona Corporation Commission. As you've been doing your homework on this, Leah, did you find, of those dozen or so states that do have this competition, did you find a state that's doing it, in your opinion, doing it well, that could be considered perhaps a model?
Not yet, honestly, Bill. As I've
I wondered about that.
They're all a little different because we have solar, you know, and we aren't as strong in wind. And I mean, every state has a little different energy mix. So that's really how to compare apples to apples.
What's the big issue in 2020 going to be for the ACC?
Well, we're in the middle of starting an APS rate case as well as a TEP rate case. So those will probably be top of mind for the media and focusing a lot on that. But we are doing some really exciting work related to even solar development and renewable energy development throughout the state. Excuse me as I'm coughing. We had an exciting vote this past week related to the Federal Public Utility Regulatory Policies Act. And what we did is we extended the contract term to 18 years so that renewable energy companies can come into Arizona and find it attractive to develop. So I think there are things like that we're doing that are pretty exciting, and you're going to see a lot more, I think, economic impact, especially in rural Arizona, as they have different renewable energy companies come forward to participate.
Be careful not to get the Buckmaster laryngitis.
No, I wasn't talking, so I got on the phone with you.
I know. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's been going around, I'll tell you. So be very careful about that. So could you tell us any more about the TEP rate case? They're asking for what?
You know, I don't have the details in front of me, but how it works, as I'm learning, because I've not been through a large rate case like this before, is they compile all their data. They submit it into the Arizona Corporation Commission. Folks can weigh in on the website, which is azcc.gov. We'll have public comment period. We'll have hearings that folks can engage in. Usually takes, I believe, 9 months to a year, if not longer, for the rate cases to come up with a final decision. And that'll move forward. And as my business background, I think, will be helpful as we go through this, because we do look at their operating expenses and determine what should be part of the rate case and what shouldn't be, as well as some of their plans for future development. So it's very involved, very complex process, but people can certainly weigh in at azcc.gov.
Are our rates competitive, TEP, with maybe cities around the country of the same size of Tucson? Do you know anything about that, Leah?
Yeah, you know, I do know that Arizona's electric rates are competitive, and we're actually some of the lower rates in the country now. And where I find that data very helpful is the U of A produces the MAP dashboard, and you can find it through the Eller College, and they actually have a dashboard there or data that shows comparable peer communities to Tucson, and Phoenix is listed there also, and you can see average electricity rates as well as a lot of other data. College attainment and all kinds of different, you know, homeownership, affordability, and so on. But I was particularly interested in their electric rate information.
Okay, Leah Marquez-Peterson. Thank you, Leah, for giving us some time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Bill, for having me on. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Have a great Christmas season. Leah Marquez-Peterson with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie will be here. Also, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Luigi Della Puerto, who is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times, will join us as well on the live line from Phoenix, talking about the big issues that will be facing the 2020 Arizona legislature. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineer, producer extraordinaire. Have a great afternoon and evening.